Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 16. This evening, we're going to be finishing up just a small series that we've been going over. Enemies of the Heart was the title of it. Enemies of the Heart. Those attitudes, those emotions that wage war within us and seek to destroy us from the inside out. We talked about a while back now how jealousy could be one of these attitudes and emotions. This idea that, God, you owe me more than I have, and how it could lead to discontentment. And we said the way that we could combat this enemy of jealousy is by celebrating what God is doing in the life of others, as well as celebrating afresh the gospel message in our life. Last week, we talked about another enemy of the heart. We talked about anger, right? And you remember last week, we looked at the Word of God in Ephesians 4, and God gives us permission to be angry. No, now that is not the application, that's not the end of the application, right? But God said, when you are angry about things that are not right, about injustice, then you're being angry about the right things. But if anger is something that is allowed to sit within our hearts, it starts to turn to bitterness, and it starts to destroy us as well from the inside out. So this evening, we're going to talk about greed. Just an easy topic for us. And some of you are here this evening saying, oh good, I have the night off with conviction from the Holy Spirit. I don't have that much, Pastor Mike. And some of you said, oh well, you know, I'm good, I don't have that much to my name, and money doesn't interest me. Well, you know, this city kind of runs on the almighty dollar, doesn't it? And this time of year, it's interesting to see how greed starts to pop its head up, even in our own neighborhood, right? I mean, you know, this is the time of year to start making money, to start buying things. How many of you have already put together your list of things you want for Christmas, right? They give out now in the mail these mailers for toy stores. And if you have kids, they come in the mail, and before you know it, your kids have circled everything on every page. This is what I want for a happy Christmas, you know? So much so that when greed is so prominent this time of year, when you see a company, a non-Christian company, make stands against it, it gets applauded. I don't know if you noticed this in the news a few weeks back, but a company, I believe it's like an outdoor wear company called REI. Has anybody ever heard of it? Okay. They made great, praise in the headlines, because they decided to close on Black Friday. And they're getting, thanked that they are not trying to be greedy the day after we're supposed to give thanks. But greed is one of these emotions, whether you have a lot or whether you have a little. Greed is one of these attitudes and emotions that could wage war within our heart. And the question is not just about the things that I can accumulate, but ultimately, where is my heart's allegiance? This evening in Matthew chapter 6, we want to go through a section of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks about the issue of greed, of wanting money and possessions and things more than one wants the Lord. And whether it's subtle in our life or whether it's a glaring issue that we struggle with day in, day out, greed is one of these attitudes and emotions that if we do not recognize it soon, it will destroy us from the inside out. The gospel message is about being satisfied and at peace and at rest in all that has been given to us in Jesus. And greed says those things are not enough. It's an important thing to meditate on and to have victory over as followers of Jesus Christ. So let's look to the Word together, but before we do so, let's pray and lift up this time to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word, Lord, this evening. God, we thank you, Lord, as we look at this challenging topic, Lord, of tackling greed within our hearts. Lord, that you might give us humility, and Lord, that you might give us strength through your Holy Spirit, God, so that we might have victory, and that, God, we might find satisfaction in all that you have given us in Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen. Turn again with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. Now, I'm going to read through just a couple verses in this section, and I want you to keep your eyes open for three things, actually three pairs that we find in these few verses together. The first is two types of treasure, okay? A pair of treasures, okay? The second is two ways of seeing, two ways of seeing. And the third pair I want you to look for together this evening is two types or two calls for loyalty. Two types of treasures, two ways of seeing, and two calls for loyalty. And as we look in the text this evening, we'll begin to see how you and I combat this struggle of greed. Beginning in verse, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and he will love the other, or he will be devoted to one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Let's look again this evening at the first pair that we see in this text. Two types of treasures. Two types of treasures. And it begins in verse 19. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And he says that the treasures that one has on earth is a foolish way to stow away your riches. Why? Because earthly treasures will rust away and moths will break in, decode it, and thieves will, will break in and steal, and moths will decay and eat out of it. I remember my grandma's house growing up, she used to have one of these cedar closets, do you guys know? With all the really nice clothes they used to have inside it. And in there as well were just tons of mothballs, do you guys know what I mean? So she had this really nice fur coat, this really one nice fur coat that would be inside the cedar closet. But you would open up that door and just the smell of mothballs, you know what I'm saying? Just like, and I remember as a kid not knowing what that smell was. But she said, if you want to protect the coat, you need to keep it in the closet with the mothballs. And so now think about it. You know, you buy this expensive coat, and then you need an expensive closet to keep it good, right? And here's what Jesus is saying here in the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, you know, what a foolish place to lay up your treasures. In the things of this earth, a place where there is only what we see before us is things decomposing, things breaking down, things not lasting. I saved up for months and months for this really nice watch. Okay? And I thought, man, and it was just a couple $100s, but it was a big purchase for me back in the day. Okay? And I remember I bought this watch and I was so excited that I had it, and I took it home and I wore it, and I was like, man, I better keep this thing really nice and clean, you know? A week later, I stained it in the corner with a little leather strap, you know? And so don't you know, every time I picked up that watch to look at the time, what did I see? That little stain. Has this ever happened to you with something new? And then I remember, you know, a few weeks later then it started to break and it started to just flash lights. Like, you know, it lit up to tell the time and the lights would just flash. I bought like a lemon of a watch, if there is such a thing. But man, all I did for months was want this watch, and when I got it, it did not satisfy. Jesus in this text is reminding you and me that when our heart's treasures are on treasures of this earth, they will not ultimately satisfy. because they will not last. They will not last. Greed says, give me what I can touch and feel and have and put in my pockets on this earth. And the ways of God say there is a better place for us to lay up our treasure. What does he say in the text, right? There's treasures of earth that do not last, that do not ultimately satisfy, that do not ultimately meet our needs. But he says, rather, lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. In heaven. Now, as I was reading this idea, you know, we often will think about this idea of heaven, and it's hard to sometimes wrap our mind around. What does it mean to wrap up and put your treasures in heaven? And I think earlier on in this chapter, we get snippets of what God thinks is heavenly things that you and I should treasure. Look with me in the beginning of this chapter for the famous section of the Lord's Prayer. Look what it says in verse 9. Pray then like this. O Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom done, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So following from that beginning then are some of the characteristics of heaven. Look what he says. Give us this day our daily bread. So what's one of the characteristics of heaven? That our daily needs are met. That we no longer are in want. Look what else it says. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What is another heavenly treasure to have? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. This doesn't sound like it's filling up your bank account, does it? Look what else it says. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or another way of translating it, from the evil one. What is another characteristic of heaven? We are free from temptation. We are delivered from evil. Jesus is saying in this text, and catch what he means here, that you and I are to treasure things like this. Forgiveness. Our needs, not our wants, being met. Deliverance. Hope. These are treasure in heaven. And Jesus says that you and I should long for these things. And then he ends in this section at the end of verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Remember we said this is the series on the enemies of the heart, right? That if our heart reveals that our treasure is in the things of this world, then our heart is in a bad state. But if our treasures reveal that our heart is on to heavenly things, then our heart is in a better condition. And I was thinking about this week, how can I practically encourage us to think about whether or not my treasure or my heart is on the things of this world or on the things of heaven, you know? I encourage you, this week, go back over your last week's credit card spending. You ready? Or go over your bank account or your auto draft or whatever it is. Some of you don't use credit cards and you use, Visa check cards, whatever it is. Okay? And just go line item by line item. I've done this. And just in the column, just write, E for earthly, H for heavenly. Now, remember, part of our daily needs being met mean food, okay? So food's okay, within reason, right? But go through and ask, Lord, what do my purchases reveal about my heart? What do my spending reveal about where my heart's allegiance is at? And something that we need to do on an individual level and as a family level, something that the church continually needs to do, right? To go and look and see, how are we using the resources that God has given us? Are we using it for things of heaven to promote forgiveness and hope like Jesus? It's a challenge for us. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. It's a heart check this evening. Where are you focused? Where are you focused? Secondly, we see a second pair in this text. We see first this idea of treasures. these earthly treasures that do not satisfy and do not last, and these heavenly treasures that are wonderful, that the promise that Jesus gives us is that one day heaven like this will come on earth. That's the prayer in the Lord's Prayer earlier on in this chapter. Put your heart in those things. But secondly, we see in verses 22 to 23, two ways of seeing with our eyes. Look again at those verses. It says that the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness. This is one of those sections of verses here in the Sermon on the Mount that have always gotten my attention. It's kind of confusing on its surface level what Jesus is actually referring to. Is he saying that our eyes are kind of like a gateway inside our body and that what we see affects our heart? I think that that's definitely, you know, a part of what's going on here. But even more so, what Jesus is conveying in this text is that our eyes also go out and show out from without within us what is really the condition of our heart. Our eyes are like these big kind of like, you know, light beams, you know, kind of like the headlights you put on in a car. And what you show in your heart comes out through your life. And so the emphasis in these two verses is that our eyes reveal the health of our heart. Do we show forth light? Or when people are around us, do they show forth darkness? Here's the relationship, that when we put our treasure in things of heaven, it starts to change our heart and bring us health from the inside out, so that when we are around others, they see that our heart is right with God, and it shows forth in the world. Now I love driving my car, not in New York too much, but the one thing I love about driving in New York is that the street lights are so well lit. Do you know what I mean? You know, you drive around New York, and you know, every street corner, every highway is lit, even sometimes on the streets themselves. And I never forget when I first started dating my wife. She's from the country in New England. And I went up to visit her one night, and I'm driving up there late at night, and the roads are dark. Do you guys know what this is like? Okay, now if you've been raised outside of a city or a suburban area, you know what this is like, and you think I'm silly. I know. But I'll never forget the one time we were driving, and one of the headlights was flickering and going on and off. You know what I mean? And as we're driving, then I'm losing complete sight of a whole section of the road in front of us. Man, it was scary. The headlights are so important because they expose the way forward so that we could travel on it safely. And Jesus is saying in this text that the lights of our eyes, and it's obviously a metaphor for our life, the way our life is lived and projected out in the world reveals the condition of our heart. And if it's a heart that is set on the things above, it is refreshing. It is illuminating. It is instructional. It is vibrant in color and light for other people to follow and look to. But if our life has treasures in earthly things, then it's just darkening and confusing and dangerous. Jesus is calling us in this text to ask ourselves, how do we see? Do our eyes see things and show forth a light that helps, or does it reveal darkness within us? The condition of our heart affects our life and how we live it. Then lastly in the text, we read, not only are there two ways of seeing, or there are two types of treasures, but lastly, that there is two calls for devotion, or two calls for our loyalty. And here's the real crux of the argument for Jesus in this text. Look at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the gravity of what Jesus is saying here in this text. That if the accumulation of things on this earth is our main goal, if our treasures are in things that do not last and do not satisfy, it is more than just the fact that we have misused and wasted some of our funds and our resources. It reveals a heart that is loyal to the wrong thing. Either we serve those things of this earth, or we serve the Lord himself. And Jesus, in very harsh but very loving terms, says to his listeners, where is your loyalty? Where is your loyalty? Is it on the ways of God and the purpose of God, or the ways of this earth and the lure and the temptations that this world calls before you? Jesus is saying he desires that you and I show loyalty to him and him alone. Now, this is important. I want to read a few verses for you. Turn a few chapters over to Matthew 19. We see that Jesus takes this allegiance to himself seriously. That if you and I are to be followers of Jesus, that what we do with our possessions and our time and our money and our resources in this way reveals our devotion to him. Remember, this is all in response to what has been given to us by salvation in Jesus, that you and I are called to live lives of allegiance to him. And in Matthew chapter 19, we see one of these characters in the scriptures that you and I may feel, if we cannot identify with him, you feel at least some sympathy for. It's the story of the rich young ruler. You guys remember the story? Look at verse 16. And behold, a man came up to him saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is no one good who is God. If you enter life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, commit adultery, or steal, or bear false witness. Honor your father, your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said, "Ah, all these I have kept. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure where? In heaven. And come and follow me." And when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, because he had great possessions. This story always kind of grabs me by the heart when I read it in the scriptures. Here's a man that on the outward appearance seemed to be going through the right motions of what it needed to be religious during the day. He kept the laws. He didn't do anything outwardly immoral. He decided to honor his family members and those around him. But Jesus was not just interested in external devotion and external acts of obedience. Jesus desired something more from the man, didn't he? He desired his heart. So Jesus tells him, "Get rid of those things and follow me." And that's what faith is. That's what trust is. It's the belief that nothing else satisfies, and so I will put my hope in the one who only and truly does. And this was the call on his life. But look at the burden that possessions were to him. Verse 22. And when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful. He was just too tied down with the things of this world, where moth and rust decay, and where thieves break in and steal. And Jesus reminds him that there is a better way, that there is a better way. So too for us, and you and I, our whole lives, we have been given to us as a stewardship from God. And we get to ask ourselves day in, day out, are my pursuits only to accumulate for myself wealth and riches, or acclaim for myself and my position and my powers and my abilities? Or am I going to invest in the things that are heavenly, in showing forgiveness, in offering forgiveness, in meeting the needs of others, in reconciling, in showing faith and showing hope and giving that to other people in our life? Or is it going to be about me making it on my own? Jesus calls us. Jesus reminds us that there is a greater desire he has for us. He desires hearts that are dedicated and devoted to him. So this evening, as we close, as we look back in Matthew's gospel in chapter 6, God reminds us that these things of this world that overcome us and take up our time could lead often to anxiety in our hearts unless we trust the one that will truly come to meet our needs. Look how this section ends then in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are not you of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or shall we drink, or shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But, and here it is once again, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God desires of you and I that we set our treasure in things of heaven, things that will last, things above. This week, especially this week of all weeks on Thanksgiving, let's take special note. Lord, how am I spending my resources? How am I spending my time? How have I been spending the gifts that you have given to me, no matter how small or how big? And can someone look at the way I manage and steward these things in my life and say, this person cares about things above? May it be true of us. May it be true of me. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we confess this evening, Lord, that this world is often very many tempting things that lure us away from you. And Lord, in a city, Lord, that glorifies mammon and wealth like this, Lord, it's easy to get pulled into the trap and to think that our worth is tied into our net worth. God, we thank you, Lord, for your grace that we find in Jesus, Lord, that you call us, Lord, to hunger and to thirst and to long for other things, Lord, the things of the heaven, Lord, the things that last forever. Help us this week, Lord, to see how we could steward the resources you have given us, Lord, to honor you and to serve other people. Lord, bring other people into our life that we could use as an opportunity to share our hope and love that's found in Jesus. Help us, Lord, this week to forgive, especially this week, Lord, when we'll be around family and friends, and sometimes there's hard feelings and an unreconciliation that has gone on. Lord, we pray, Lord, that this week above all others, Lord, we may show that our treasure is in the things of heaven. Lord, that we might forgive sacrificially, especially when it hurts. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for the forgiveness that Jesus offers to us. Help us to follow him more faithfully, we pray. In his name, amen.